We continue Bezat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are up to Daf Lamed Gimel. However, we begin on the last line of Daf Lamed Bet Amud Bet with the words V'Rabbi Yochanan Maitama Lo Amar Keula. This limud is Leilui Nishmat Baruch Ben Shelomo, Shelomo Ben Reuven, Shelomo Ben Jamila, Erez Ben Miriam, Shaul Ben Latife, Yom Tov Ben Hanan, Naim Ben Chatun, לדיסיה בת יקות, סוליקה בת חנה, אסתר בת לדיסיה, אתה רבקה בת מרדכי, רבקה בת דבורה, אבא שלומית בת אילנה אסתר, חיה אסתר, חווה בת שרה, לובה בת מזל, עליהם השלום. אורסו לזכות רפואה של אמה, פור אלי שבע בת נטע, גבריאלה מסודה בת שרה, אין חנה בת סוליקה. So, up till this point, we have learned here in the past daf a machloket between Ula and Rabbi Yochanan, regarding when there is a case of two liabilities at the same time, at the same act, which is Malkut and Tashlumin. Which one is administered? According to Ula, he says that Meshalem ve'eno loke, the payment of money and no Malkut, and he learns it from, the Gemara came to a maskana that he learns it from a gezerah shava of tachat tachat, as we saw on the top of Lamed Bet Amud Bet. Rabbi Yochanan argues and holds that no, if there are two liabilities, Malkut and Mamon, it is Malkut, as long as there was hatra'a, forewarning, it is Malkut that is administered as the punishment and not the payment. And that Rabbi Yochanan learned from the pasuk towards the end of Kitetzeh by the sugya of Malkut, where it says Keder Rishato, only one punishment, and it says after that Arba'im Yakenu, which is Malkut, over the payment. So now the Gemara asks on the bottom of Lamed Bet Amud Bet, Rabbi Yochanan, Mai Tama Lo Amar Keula? Why is it that Rabbi Yochanan does not say the same halacha as Ula? Why does he not hold like Ula that Meshalem ve'eno loke? So the Gemara says, because imken bitalta ervata chotecha lo tegale. Because if that would be the case, then you have taken the isur of ervata chotecha lo tegale, that you're not allowed to uncover the erva of your sister, and you nullified it. You canceled it out. You rendered it moot. Because normally the punishment of the lav is malkut, and if you're going to say that he has to pay and no malkut, so you are nullifying this pasuk. You're removing the normal punishment that is given for the prohibition of such a pasuk. How could that be? Therefore, we say the other way, malkut and no payment. Asks the Gemara, well, chovel b'chaveru nami, by chovel b'chaveru, one who injures his friend, also you should say, im ken bitalta lo yosif pen yosif. I mean, over there, everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yochanan, as we learned on Daf Lamed Bet, that by one who injures his friend, although there is a lav that is transgressed that should make him liable to receive Malkut, still he only pays the monetary penalties of Chovel B'Chavero. Why don't you ask the same thing there? Im ken bitalta lo Yosif. You are nullifying the lav of the Torah lo Yosif by not giving him Malkut. And also, Edim Zomimim Nami. By Edim Zomimim also, we saw that we learned that it's an exception, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the punishment of the Edim Zomimim is money and not Malkut, even though they transgressed the law of Lotane. So you should ask there too, Im ken bitalta vehayayim bin hakot harasha. You have nullified the pasuk that obligates Malkut, that is written in the parasha of Edim Zomimim. It says, vehayayim bin hakot harasha. And that's written by Edim Zomimim. Ela, rather, what must you say? That there's no nullification here. You're not really mevatel de pasuk, because edim zomimim efshar lekiyuma beben grusha uben chalutza. There is a place, there is an instance where you do fulfill the punishment of malkut for edim zomimim, which is in the case of ben grusha ben chalutza. That's the first Mishnah in Masechet Makot. If two Edim came and falsely said about another person that he's a halal, that he's a son of a grusha divorcee that married a Kohen, right? And then it comes out that they were wrong, meaning that they were conspiring, they were false. They're Edim Zomimim. So over there, the Mishnah says, we can't punish them to become chalalim. I mean, that doesn't work. Rather, what do they receive? They receive malkut. Oh, so there is a fulfillment of the pasuk of v'hayayim bina kota rasha bayedim zomimim in the case of ben gusha v'chalutza. So you're not really mevatel, you're not nullifying the pasuk. Chovel b'chavero nami, and the same you can say by the case of chovel b'chavero, ika lekiyuma, there is a fulfillment of the malkut of even in the case of injuring one's friend, kegon in the instance of shiikawa kashen bashave puta, right? As we learned, Rabbi Yochanan taught us on Daf Lamed Bet that if the injury was the type of injury that does not have any monetary value of at least a shave puta, in that case he receives malkut. Okay, so there is, you're not mevatel the pasuk of ben Yosef lehakoto. Because there is an instance where, by the case of Chovel Bachavero, the sinner does receive Malkut. So the same thing we can answer regarding your question of Achoto, Rabbi Yochanan. Achoto Nami, Ika Lekiyuma Beachoto Bogeret. When can the punishment of Malkut be fulfilled by the case of Habal Achoto? When his sister is a Bogeret, when she's not a Na'ara anymore, she's a grown woman, after the age of 12 and a half, in that case, there is no knas, there is no monetary payment by the me'anis, by the rapist. Rather, there is the punishment of malkut. So you're not mevatel. This is in answer to what Rabbi Yochanan said, im ken bitalta ervat achotecha lo tegalet. It's not bitul. There is a case where there is malkut. So therefore, we're back to the question. Why is it be'emet that Rabbi Yochanan does not say, like Ula? Amar lach Rabbi Yochanan says, the reason why I don't learn like Ula from that gzera shava that he learned, tachat, tachat, to show us that there is mamon and not malkut, is because, hai, tachat asher ina mi ba'ele lechede abaye. That pasuk of tachat asher ina, I cannot use for the gzera shava to teach me this halacha. I need it for something else. I need it to learn the halacha that Abaye taught. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, from where do we know that a person who's me'anisa betula has to pay besides the 50 kesef of the penalty of a me'anis, he also has to pay the other monetary payments, boshet, pegam, and tsar, and all the others. How do I know? Amar Abaye says, Amar Ka, the pasuk says, tachat asher ina. The 50 kesef that is by the me'anis, the Torah specifies, is due to the infliction, to this that he tortured her, tachat asher ina. Hai, tachat asher ina, michlal de'ika, boshet uvegam. So we see from here, these 50, what is the pasuk saying? This 50 shekel kesef, that's only for the fact that he was ina. That's for the onus, that's for the rape itself. Mashma, there are other payments, boshet and pigam, like any other chover, like any other person who injures his friend. And so we need the pasuk of tachat asherina to infer from it, to mibendayek from it, that in the case of me'anes, there are other monetary payments as well. So therefore, this gzerah shava is not mufne, is not open, is not available on the side of the pasuk of tachat asherina to learn that which Ula wanted to learn, that in any case there is malkut and mamon, you go with the mamon. That's why Rabbi Yochanan refused to learn like Ula. Ve'ula. Now the question is on Ula. He who does learn the gezerah shava of tachat for the inyan of meshalim ve'enu loke, so where does he know the halacha that Abaye taught, that there are other monetary payments besides the 50 shekel kesef of the ones? Nafkale mi de Rava. He learns this halacha the way Rava learned it, not like Abaye. The Amar Rava, Rava said, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Venatana isha shochev ima la'avi ha'na'ara 50 kesef. It says in the pasuk, and ha'ish ha'shochev ima, the man who laid with her shall give her father 50 kesef. Why did Torah have to say that? It should just say, Venatan 50 kasef. We know we're talking about the rapist, the me'anes. Why does it have to say the extra words? Ha'ish ha'shochev ima. Oh, says Rava, hana'at shchiva 50. The 50, the penalty of the 50 kesef of the me'anes, that's only for the element of shochev ima, for the hana'at, for the pleasure that he had, that he was with her. From here we see, but there are other payments beyond this fine of 50 kesef, such as boshet and pigam, for the humiliation and for the degradation of the value. And so that's how Ula will learn that halacha. Now the Gemara is going to give us another source, another reason, why by edim zomemim, though there are two liabilities, payment and malkut, there is only payment. We only obligate them to pay and they don't receive malkut. So till now, we learned the reason to that because of the fact that it says in the parasha of Edim Zomimim, the words yad beyad. So that's davar nitan miyad liyad, that's mamon. We learned that on daf lamed bet, amud bet. Here the Gemara will bring another source. Rabbi Eliezer says, in truth, it has to be corrected to say Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is a Tana. Rabbi Elazar is the Amora, the Talmid Chaver of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Elazar says, Edim Zomimim, Mamona Meshalmi, Umil Kalulaki, this that Edim Zomimim pay money, but they don't get Malkut, does not require a Pasuk. It's something that comes from logical reasoning. Mishum Delav Bene Hatra'a Ninhu. The reason is because it's impossible to forewarn them. They are not subject to hatra'a. Once there is no hatra'a, there's no malkut. And the edim zomimim, they're not subject to hatra'a. And the Gemara will explain. Amar Rava. Rava says, Teda, you should know that this is true, that there is no practical way to forewarn them, because netri behu emat. When should we forewarn them? When should we do the hatra? Netre behu meikara? Should we maybe forewarn them in the beginning, initially, which means before they come to testify? That's not practical. Amri ishtalian. They can say, well, we forgot about what you told us. Right? If you're going to forewarn them before, you know, they come to Bedin to testify, that's a long time before they actually do that. So they can always say, well, we forgot what you told us that you warned us. So that's not a good hatra'a. Netri behu bishat ma'aseh. Maybe immediately, right before we see them testifying, we should warn them. Parshi velo mishadi. So you know what's going to happen? We're going to cause that even truthful witnesses are going to go away and they're not going to want to testify. They're going to say, well, if you suspect us that we are about to lie, so forget it. What do we need these problems? We're not going to testify at all. You'll be discouraging even truthful witnesses if every time someone comes to testify, you give atra'a beforehand that they shouldn't lie. Netri behu levasov. What are you going to say? That perhaps maybe we should warn them right after they testified? And we should tell them, well, listen, if what you said was a lie, then please take it back, or else you get malkut. May de hava hava. What already was, which means once they testify, they cannot retract their words. We have a rule when it comes to edut, kevan sheyigid shuv eno chozer umagid. Once a person testifies, he cannot retract his edut. So it's not a practical situation where there can be hatra. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar says the reason why edim zomemim they get the punishment of payment, but not the punishment of malkud, is because there's no hatra, because it's not practical to give hatra. Matkifla Abaye, so Abaye asks Rava, what's the problem? Benetri behu betoch kedei dibur, which means within 3 seconds, right after they completed their statement. So that time, those 3 seconds of toch kedei dibur, is still a time where a person can correct what he said. And it's not considered that he concluded his statement. They can still retract, they can still fix the testimony that they said, toch kedei dibur. So if you give them a warning, a quick warning, within the toch kedei dibur time, that could be effective maybe. Why do you rule out and say that it's not practical? Matkifla Ravacha Bered Ravika. Ravacha Bered Ravika also has a question. Vinetri behu miikara. Let's forewarn them in the beginning, before they testify. Unerames behu ramuze. And we should gesture to them. We should make a hint. We should hint to them during the actual testimony, reminding them of the hatra'a that they gave them beforehand. So they won't be able to claim that they forgot it. That's a way of getting around it practically. Hadarama Abaye, but then Abaye said afterwards, Lav milta hidamui. What I said is not really, it's not true. Isal kadata chedim zomemim tzachim atra'a, because if you're going to tell me that edim zomemim require hatra'a, ki lo matrinan behu, lo katlinan lehu. So then, when we don't forewarn them, we don't kill them. Right? If you're going to say that there is a requirement of a hatra'a before you punish the edim zomemim. Okay, so that means that if, let's say, you did not give them hatra'a, you didn't forewarn them, so then you're not going to kill the edim zomemim. Let's say you have edim zomemim who came and conspired to testify against someone who's innocent, that he did something deserving to be sentenced to death. Right? Classic case of edim zomemim. But, and so now, normally, what is the case? When they're found out to be zomemim, they are killed. Because kasher zamam kente yaselo, they have to. They get the same punishment that they wanted to inflict falsely on the other person. But if there is a technicality that, let's say, you didn't do the hatra, let's say you didn't forewarn them, so then you can't kill them, right? Mi'ikamidi de inhu ba'u katil belo atra. Is, does that make sense? Is there such a thing? Mi'ikamidi, is there such a thing? De inhu ba'u katil, they wanted to kill the poor guy, the innocent victim, belo atra. Without any forewarning, right? He was going to be sentenced to death just like that, based on their words. He didn't receive any forewarning. He didn't even do anything, right? The inhu bawata, and they, in order to punish them, no, they you need hatra'a. Without hatra'a, they don't get killed. How is that fair? That's not balanced. That's not the same. Habayinan vasitem lo kasher zamam lasut le'achiv veleka. You need to fulfill the pasuk by Edim Zomemim that they are punished in the same way that they wanted, that they plotted to do against their friend. Veleka. And it's not the same. Which means against their friend, they plotted to kill even without atra'a. And by them, you're only going to kill them if there was atra'a. But if there's no atra'a, you don't kill them. That's not va'asitem lo kasher zamam. That's why Abaye says, I retract what I said. There is strong logical reason to say that by Edim Zomemim, no hatra'a is required. And therefore, back to what Rabbi Lazar said, since no hatra'a is required by Edim Zomemim, so there's no malkut. Rather, there is tashlumim. Rather, that's why by Edim Zomemim, they only pay, they don't get malkut. Mat kifla Rav Sama bered de Rav Yirmiya. However, Rav Sama, the son of Rav Yirmiya, strongly asks on what Abaye just said. Ela me'ata, if so, ben grusha o ben chalutza, delo mika asher zamam kamitrabe, libay hatra'a. Well then, by the case of, let's say they came and they said about someone that he is a halal, that he's a ben grusha o ben chalutza, and they said it falsely, right? Now, we don't learn out from the pasuk kasher zamam, we don't fulfill the pasuk on them of kasher zaman, that they get exactly what they wanted to do to the other person, because we don't say that they become chalalim. That's the first Mishnah in Masechet Makot. Rather, what do they get? They get malkut. In that case, that's the exception, that's where they get lashes. So in that case, libai hatra'a, we should require forewarning. We should require hatra'a before the malkut. After all, in that case, we are not fulfilling kasher zaman. Right? The only reason why you're saying that they should not have to require hatra'a because it's not fair, it's not the same as the victim. But in this case anyway, by the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, anyway, the case of Edim Zomemim is not the same. We don't fulfill kasher zamam. They're getting malkut, even though they conspired to make him a halal. So in that case, at least, there should be hatra'a, there should be a requirement of a hatra'a, and without hatra'a, they won't get the malkut. Answers the Gemara, Amar Kra Mishpat Echad Yiyeh Lachem. The Pasuk says, Mishpat Echad Yiyeh Lachem. You shall have one manner of the law, of Mishpat. Mishpat HaShaveh LeKulchem. Which means a law that is equal for all of you. Which means, since in a standard, in all standard cases of Edim Zomemim, no Hatra'a is required, as we just explained. So therefore, even in this exceptional case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, no Hatra'a is required either. You can't make differences and say, in normal cases, there is no Chiyuv Hatra'a, but in the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, there will be. It has to be Mishpat Echad, Mishpat HaShaveh LeKulchem. Rav Shesha Bered Rav Hidi Amar, Rav Shesha, the son of Ravidi, says he's going to bring to us another source for the din of Chovel b'chaviru. Why it's only Meshalem and not Loke. Till now, we discussed from Rabbi Lazar the source why Edim Zomemim only pay and don't get malkut. So now we know that there's another exception, that's chovel b'chavero, that only pays and doesn't receive malkut. Rav Shesha Berei de Ravidi wants to give us another source from that which we learned on Daf Lamed Bet. On Daf Lamed Bet, we learned that it's from the pasuk where it says, "By chovel b'chavero, ken inaten bo, davar sheyesh bo netina." The Torah is indicating that mamon, that he pays money over malkut. However, Rav Shesha Berei de Ravidi says another reason. Chovel b'chavero nami, in the case of chovel b'chavero, this that mamona mishalem umil kalolake, that he only pays money, he doesn't get malkut, mehacha. We learn it from a different pasuk, from the following. It states, v'chiinatsu anashim, v'nagefu isha hara v'yatze'u yeladeha. When men are quarreling and fighting, and they hurt a pregnant woman, and she miscarries her child, v'yatze'u yeladeha. V'amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar explains, what type of quarrel are we talking about? V'chiinatsu anashim, when they fight, what kind of a fight? B'matzut shebemita hakatuv medaber. The pasuk is talking about a fight that one wanted to kill each other. That's what it means. B'matzut shebemita hakatuv medaber. How do we know? Dichtiv, because there it says, ve'im asoni yevin atata nefesh tachat nefesh. If there will be a tragic harm in that case, if any tragic harm will follow, then venatata nefesh tachat nefesh. Then a life for a life, meaning would be chayav mitayv. Let's say that. What does it mean in masoniye? If he's going to kill the woman instead of just causing her to miscarry, if she was killed, then venatata nefesh tachat nefesh. He's a rotzeach and he would have to be killed. So now let's think about this. He says, Rav Shesha Berei de Ravidi says, hey chidami, what's the circumstances here? If they didn't forewarn the person not to kill the other, if there was no hatra'a, amai miktil, how can you kill him? Right? It says over here that nefesh tachat nefesh. If there was a death of someone that ensued, he is killed. How is he killed if we're talking about that there's no hatra'a? Ela pshita de atrube. So rather, it's obvious that it's a case where he was warned, and he was warned not to kill, right? And we have a rule that if the hatra'a that was given, if the forewarning that was given was for a davar chamur, for the more serious sin, such as killing, it works as a hatra'a for the davar hakal, for the lesser severe sin, such as injuring. So the same thing over here, meaning, he was forewarned, if you're going to kill this person, you are going to be punished with death, right? That type of atra'a works also that even if there was no death, that he will get malkut for hitting and injuring because of the love of Lo Yosef. Ve'amara chamana, and what does the Torah say there? Ve'lo ye'ason anosh ye'anesh. That if there's no death, then anosh ye'anesh, he pays money, even though there was hatra'a for malkut, because the hatra'a for killing is a hatra'a that covers for malkut as well, because mutre ledavar chamur includes in it a hatra'a ledavar akal. So there was a hatra'a for malkut, and yet he doesn't receive the malkut. He pays instead of malkut. Ah, this is where Rav Shesha learns that in a case, that's how we learn by Chovel b'chavero, that although there are two liabilities here, there's a liability to receive malkut, and there's a liability to pay, the choice is the payment. That is the punishment of the Chovel b'chavero. Because there was hatra'a, so there was liability for malkut, and yet the Torah says he only pays money. Matkif la Ravashi, Ravashi asks on this, how do you just assume this rule? Who said that one who receives hatra'a for something that is chamur, is severe, that is also included, that includes in it already a hatra'a for davarakal? Meaning, you're saying over here, he was forewarned regarding not to kill, so that's also already considered a forewarning, a hatra'a, regarding not to injure. Maybe it's not so, maybe that's not the case. And therefore, maybe it's possible to say that there is no hatra'a here for the case of injuring. The hatra'ah was for the killing. It wasn't for the injuring. And therefore, that's why he pays, because there's no malkut, because there was no hatra'ah. So that's why there's payment. How do you see that in the case where you have two liabilities, for malkut and for mamon, we choose mamon? There's no liability of malkut over here, because the hatra'ah, there is no hatra'ah for malkut. The hatra'ah was for the mita, not for the malkut. How do you know that mutre le davar chamur is mutre le davar akal? Dilma lo havi. Im timtze lomar have, and even if you want to tell me that it is, meaning that hatra'ah for davar chamur includes in it a hatra'ah le davar akal, okay, even if you want to say that's true, mimai de mita chamura, how do you know that mita, death, penalty of death, versus the punishment of malkut, how do you know mita is more chamur? Why do you assume that death penalty is more severe punishment than malkut? Dilma malkut chamur, maybe the punishment of lashes is more severe than death. After all, the Amarav, we have a statement from Rav, Ilma le nagdua lechananya Mishael v'Azaria palchu litzalma. Rav said, by the case of Hananiah, Mishael v'Azaria, who were forced to bow down to Avodah Zarah by Nebuchadnezzar, and they gave up their lives al Kiddush Hashem, and they did not bow down, and therefore they were thrown into the fire, and of course we know the miracle happened that they were saved, Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. Rav says a shocking statement. Rav says it was because they were told that if they don't bow, they will die. They were willing to accept that. But if they would have been told that if you don't bow down to the Avodah Zarah, you're going to be flogged with lashes, you're going to receive malkut, they would have worshipped the tzelem, meaning they would have bowed down. Why? Because it's much more severe, it's much more pain than the one moment of death. So who tells you to assume that mita is chamura than is more chamur than malkut? Amar le Rav Sama bered Ravasi le Ravashi. Rav Sama, the son of Rav Asi, told Rav Ashi in response to his question. Rav Sama berei de Rav Ashi le Rav Ashi. And some say Rav Sama, the son of Rav Ashi himself, responded to Rav Ashi's question. Ve'lo shane lach ben haka'a sheyesh la kitzba lehaka'a she'en la kitzba. Rav Ashi, don't make a difference between haka'a, hitting, flogging, that has a kitzba, that has a limit. That's malkut. Malkut is up till 39. That's it. There is no more. Lehaka'a she'en la kitzba versus lashes and flogging that doesn't have a limit. Which means in that case, by Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, yeah, it's true, they would have, because you never know how many makot they would get from Nebuchadnezzar. That's en la kitzba. They weren't told, they would not have been told what limit to the hitting that they would receive. That's why they would have succumbed. But in the case of Malkut, where a person knows it's only 39, we can assume that that is less chamur, that is less severe than the penalty of death. And therefore, if there is hatra'ah for death, that includes in it the hatra'ah for something less severe, which is Malkut Arba'im. That was in answer to the question of Rav Ashi. Matkifla Rav Yaakov min Nehar Pakud. However, Rav Yaakov from the city of Nehar Pakud in Bavel asks another question regarding the proof that was brought before from Rav Shesha Bere de Ravidi regarding the case of the pasuk of two people fighting to teach us by Chovel b'Chavero that there is Mamon and not Malkut. So Rav Yaakov min Nehar Pakud asks on this, Hanicha le Rabbanan de Amri Nefesh Mamash? Ela le Rabbi de Amar Mamon Ma'ika le Meimar? That's all good proof if you explain the pasuk according to Rabbanan, who said that when it says over there, v'im ye ason, then it's nefesh tachat nafesh, v'natata nefesh tachat nafesh, that if there is a tragic death in that fight, so then he will receive mita, he will be receive the death penalty. That's if you explain the pasuk according to Rabbanan, when it says there nefesh, it means that literally, it means the death penalty. So then you could learn from there the din of, since there was hatra'ah for death, and that includes hatra'ah for malkut, and yet he only pays in the case where there was no death. So you see that there is payment over malkut. But ela le Rabbi de Amar Mamon Ma'ika Nememar. But according to Rabbi Yudan Asi, who argues with Chachamim, and he says that if the person did not intend to injure the woman. So he's not liable to be executed. He's not going to have the death penalty. When it says venatata nefesh tachat nafesh, it means that he pays money because of causing the death. But he doesn't get killed. So then what are you going to say in this case? According to that opinion, there was no hatra'a for malkut at all. Because since there is no death penalty in this case, so there was no hatra'a. And so the only liability here is the payment. So you don't have a case of both liabilities, liability of malkut and payment. There is no liability of malkut because there was no hatra'a, because there is no halakha of death penalty in this case, according to Rabbi, who says nefesh means mamon. So we're back to the question. It's not a proof from that pasuk of Vichi Natsu. Ela Amar Rav Yaakov min har pakut mishmei de Rava. Rather, Rav Yaakov min har pakut says in the name of Rava, that this halakha is learned mehacha, that we learn this halakha of payment over malkut by chovel b'chaveru from another pasuk. It says im yakum v'italech b'chutz al mishanto v'nika hamake, regarding the person who struck another person with his fist or with a stone and he didn't kill him, he injured him, he caused him to be bedridden. So it says in the pasuk, im yakum italech bachutz, if he rises and he walks outside, al mishanto, using a stick, venikaha makeh, the one who hit him is then exempt, he's absolved. V'chita ale al da'atcha, sheze mehalech bashuk, veze neherag? Do I really need a pasuk to tell me that if the one who was injured, if he was hit, he got up and he's walking around and everything is all fine, would I ever think that the person has to be executed, the one who hit him? I need a pasuk to tell me, im yakum yitalech b'chutz al mishanto v'nika hamakeh, the one who hit him is not chayav mita. I need a pasuk to tell me that if he's walking around, he's not chayav mita? Obviously, that's obvious. V'chi ta'aleh al da'atcha, sheze me'alech bashuk v'ze ne'erag? Ela, rather, the pasuk is teaching me the following, ela melamed shechofshim oto. The pasuk is teaching us that we imprison the one who was aggressive and hit. We imprison him, we take him to jail while the one who is injured is recuperating. If the person dies due to the blow that he received, so then we kill him, then he receives the death penalty. But if he didn't die, so then rak shifto yiten verapo yirape. The person who hit, he has to pay for the loss of parnasa, and he has to pay for the medical bills. That's what the pasuk is teaching us. So now, let's see. How do we have proof from here that the punishment of money overrides the punishment of malkut? Hechidami, because what's the circumstances here of this pasuk that we just explained? Idelo aturbe, if we're talking about that there was no hatra, there was no forewarning before he hit the person, amai miktil, then why would he get killed? Even if the person dies, but why would the person get killed? There is no death penalty without hatra'a. Ela pshita de'atrube. So therefore, it's obvious we're talking about that hatra'a was in place. Now, what kind of hatra'a? Hatra'a of don't kill him. If you kill him, you will have the death penalty, right? That's the hatra'a. U'mutre le'davar chamu, u'mutre le'davar akal. Now, hatra'a for something severe includes in it a hatra'a for something less severe, such as just for injuring, right? So there was a hatra'a here also for the sin of injuring, even if he didn't kill, but just injured. There was a hatra'a. Now, when a person injures, it's also a liability of malkut because you're over on the pasuk of lo yosif lehakoto, that you're not allowed to hit another person, to injure another person. And yet, ve'amar rachmana, what does the pasuk say? Shifto yiten v'rapo yirape. He only pays the money of the parnasa, the loss of parnasa, the loss of work, and the medical bills, but not malkut. What do you see over here? That chovel b'chaveru, one who injures another person, although there are two liabilities, one of malkut, one of payment, only mishalem and not loke. That's how Rav Yaakov min har pakut learns in the name of Rava. Matkif la Ravashi. So Ravashi once again asks the same question as before. Mimai de mutre le davar chamur, have mutre le davar akal. How do you know? Why do you assume that a hatra'a for something severe includes in it a hatra'a for something that is less? Dilma lo havi. maybe it's not considered hatra'ah for the lesser sin, and therefore there is no liability of malkut here because there's no hatra'ah for the sin of injuring. And even if you want to say that hatra'ah for something severe does include in it a hatra'ah for the lesser sin, how do you know that death, why do you assume that death is more chamur than malkut? Maybe malkut is more chamur. The Amar Rav, as Rav said, ilmale nagdu al Chananya, Mishael v'Azariah palchu litzalma, that if they were given if Chananya, Mishael v'Azariah were given malkut, if they would have been punished with lashes, they would have succumbed. Which means we see that the punishment of malkut can be more severe than death. And on this, the same answer as we saw before, Amar le Rav Sama bire de Rav Asi le Rav Ashi, ve'amri le Rav Sama bire de Rav Ashi le Rav Ashi, whether it's the Rav Sama who was the son of Rav Ase who asked Rav Ashe, or Rav Sama the son of Rav Ashe himself who answered his father Rav Ashe. He said to him, what are you comparing from Chananya, Mishael v'Azariah? Ve'lo shani lach ben haka'a sheyesh la kitzba le'haka'a she'en la kitzba. Do you not make a difference between Malkut that has a limit? It's only 39. That's not as severe to the person as death. Whereas by Chananya, Mishael, v'Azariah, it's en la kitzba. There was no limit to how much they would have been hit. And therefore that's why what Rav said is true. That they would have eventually succumbed if there was malkut. But really, mita, in general, is more chamur than malkut. And therefore, the proof of Rav Yaakov min ha'al pakud is good proof. And that's the answer to the question of Rav Ashi. Mat kifla Rav Mari. Rav Mari asks another strong question on the proof of Rabbi Yaakov in Halpakut. Mimai de bemezid, how do you know that the pasuk that talks in Parashat Mishpatim that we just learned, from that pasuk where it says, V'ika'ish et re'u, it's talking about where he did it intentionally, where that's where he would be chayav mita if eventually the person dies from the blow. So then he would be chayav mita. Who said that it's bemezid? Venika miktala, and this that it says venika hamake, that if the person is healed and he gets up from his wounds, so then venika hamake, the one who struck his friend is now absolved from the punishment of death. How do you know that that's what the Torah means? That it's a case where it was bemezid, and the potential punishment was death, and venika hamake means now he's absolved from death. Dilma Beshogeg, maybe we're talking about a case where he struck his friend Beshogeg without any forewarning, without hatra'a. It was unintentional, right? And this that we imprison him, right? That we take him to prison to see if the person is going to die or not, is to know if, not if he's going to receive the death penalty, it's to know if he needs to go to Galut, to the Ir Miklat. So when it says venika, when it says that if the victim gets up from bed and walks around, venika, the one who struck his friend is absolved migalut. He's absolved not from the death penalty. He's absolved from the punishment of galut, of having to go to the Ir Miklat. And therefore, that's the reason why he pays money. Not because there's two liabilities of Malkut and Mammon, and still you choose the payment of Mammon. There is no liability of Malkut over here, because it was done by Shogeg. So there's no choice of liability of Malkut versus money. The reason why the Torah says that he pays only the money, a chifto v'rapo yirape, right, is because it's a case of Beshogeg. In Shogeg, there is no case of Malkut. There is no punishment of Malkut. That's why he pays money. So what's the proof of Rav Yaakov min ha'al pakud? Kashya, the Gemara says, that's a question that is left unresolved. Now the Gemara is going to go all the way back to the question that was asked on the bottom of Lamid Aleph Amud Bet. The question of the stira, the contradiction between our Mishnah, where on the list of those prohibited relations there is knas, the me'anes receives the penalty of money, whereas in the Mishnah in Makot it says that there is malkut, that there is lashes. And so that began the whole sugya with the answer from Ula, that he says meshalem ve'eno loke, or Rabbi Yochanan, and on and on. And the Ra'ula and Rabbi Yochanan, each one answered the stira in their way. Either we say that our Mishnah is talking about Na'ara, and that Mishnah is talking about Bogeret, that's Ula. Or we say like Rabbi Yochanan, our Mishnah is talking about where there was no Hatra'a for Malkut. And that's why there's no Malkut. But there in the Mishnah, in Makot, there was Hatra'a for Malkut. Now we're going to learn a third explanation or answer to the stira. Resh Lakish amar, Resh Lakish says, Hamani, Rabbi Meir here. Our Mishnah that holds, Haba'al Achoto, that if he was Ba'al Achoto in a way of raping, noten, he pays a knas, our Mishnah that said he pays a knas, as different than what it says in the Mishnah in Makot that he receives Malkut, is going according to Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir de Amar, who holds Loke Shalem. Here's a third opinion, that the one who is obligated, who is liable to two liabilities, Mamon and Malkut, such as the case of Haba Lachoto, the Mamon is for the Ones, and the Malkut for the Lav, Loke Shalem. According to Rabbi Meir, he gets both punishments, Malkut and Knas. And that's what our Mishnah means, and therefore it's not a contradiction to the Mishnah in Makot. Asks the Gemara, I Rabbi Meir, if our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, afilu bito nami, then even in the case if it was one who was me'anes, bito, his daughter. Now by bito, it's not just the love of Malkut like Achoto. It's a penalty of death, mitat bedin, right? If it's Rabbi Meir, then even in the case of bito, also we should say that he pays the knas. Because according to Rabbi Meir, there's no kim le bidraba mine, you give only one punishment. It should be both punishments, right? And yet later on, in the Mishnah, by us, later on in the Mishnah, daf lamed vav amud bet, we're going to see that in the case of Haba al Bito, there's only the death penalty, but he does not pay the knas. So it doesn't seem like our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Meir, because in the next Mishnah we see, not like Rabbi Meir, that there's only mitah, only death, and not knas. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, it should be both. Just like he says, loke shalem, it should be also met shalem. V'chi teima, and if you'll want to push away this this question by saying, well, maybe Rabbi Meir makes a difference. Rabbi Meir loke shalem itle, met shalem letle. Rabbi Meir holds, when do you get both punishments? That's only when it's malkut and payment. But when we have two liabilities of death and payment, even Rabbi Meir holds only met, but not Mishalim. And therefore you could say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and the next Mishnah does not contradict that at all. But it's not true. That's not, Rabbi Meir does not make this difference. Vehatanya, we learned in a Braita regarding the payment of four or five, that is someone who steals an ox or a sheep, and he slaughters it after stealing it, or he sells it after stealing it. So then there is the Tashlume Arba'a V'Chamisha, that he has to pay four times or five times after he's caught. So it says in the Braita regarding such a person, Ganav v'tavach v'shabbat. Let's say on Shabbat, the thief came, he stole the shol, the ox, and he slaughtered it on Shabbat. So now besides the stealing, he also was mechalel Shabbat by doing a melacha, of slaughtering, of doing shchita on Shabbat. Or Ganav v'tavach la'avodat kochavim. Or he stole and he slaughtered it for the sake of Avodah Zarah. That's also something that is of a death penalty. Just like Chilut Shabbat is death penalty, so too slaughtering something for Avodah Zarah is a worship that causes, that brings about the punishment of Mitah. Or another case, Ganav Shor HaNiskal. If a person stole a shor, an ox, that was sentenced to stoning, right? As the Torah tells us, that if an ox killed a human being, that ox has to be stoned. It's chayav skila. It's called shor aniskal. And shor aniskal is asur behana'a. One is not allowed to derive any benefit from shor aniskal, which means it doesn't have any monetary value anymore. So if a person stole shor aniskal, utvacho, and he slaughtered it, meshalem tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, in all these cases, he pays tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha, v'chachamim potrim. And chachamim say he doesn't have to pay. Why do chachamim say he doesn't have to pay? Because since there is the death penalty in two of these three cases, the case of Chilul Shabbat, the case of Avodat Kochavim, So then we say that he doesn't pay the money because he's chayav mita, en adam mit shalem. That's according to Chachamim. And also by Shor HaNiskal, being that it's valueless because it's asur be'ana'ah, so there's no payment. That's why Chachamim potrim. But Rabbi Meir, what did he say? He pays the money. From the fact that Rabbi Meir obligates the person to pay the money, even by the case of Toveach b'Shabbat, we see that Rabbi Meir holds met shalem, that even by death also, both liabilities, both punishments are received. So you cannot say that Rabbi Meir makes a difference and says that when it comes to bito, which is the death penalty, then it's only mit and not mishalim. No, Rabbi Meir holds that you do that he gets both of them. So how could you say our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir? It contradicts the next Mishnah that says abal bito, it's only mit and not mishalim. So the Gemara answers, ha itmarala. You know, we learned on that braita, in explanation of that braita that we just quoted. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yaakov said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ve'amrila, and some say, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. That some say that Rabbi Yirmiya said it in the name of Rav Shimon ben Lakish. What was the statement? Rabbi Avin, Ve'Rabbi Il'a, Ve'chol Chavurata, Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan Amri. Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Il'a, and the entire group of Chachamim said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Betoveach al yedei acher. That really, Rabbi Meir holds that in a case where there is the death penalty, you don't give also the payment penalty. Enom met shalem. Even Rabbi Meir holds like that also. Why is it that in that brayta, Rabbi Meir obligated the person to pay the payment of money of arba v'chamisha, even though the tvicha was done on Shabbat, and so that's a death penalty of chilul Shabbat? Because over there it's talking about betoveach al yedei acher, which means he slaughtered it through someone else. He stole the ox. He didn't slaughter it on his own. He sent a messenger to slaughter it. And that person, when did he slaughter it? On Shabbat. Or he did it for Avodat Kochavim. So since he himself did not slaughter it, he was not mechalel Shabbat. That's why he pays the money there, because there is no chiyuv mita on him. He didn't do the shchita on his own. But the Gemara asks, v'chi ze chote v'ze mitchayev? One second. Is it possible to say that this person, the messenger, sins by slaughtering, and the one who sent him, he's mitchayev to pay the 4 and 5? Don't we have a rule, en shaliach lidvar avera, that when it comes to a sin, there is no rule of shlichut, there's no messengery. Which means if a person made a messenger, a shaliach, to go and do a sin, we don't say that the sin is now on the head of the one who sent him. No, en shaliach lidvar avera. So why is it that he would even have to pay the arba v'chamisha? He wasn't the one who did the tvicha. He shouldn't have to pay either. Amar Rava, Rava says, Amar Rachmana utvacho o mecharo. The Torah says, by the case of the payment of 4 or 5 for someone who steals an ox and either slaughters it or sells it, it gives us two cases. The Torah gave us two cases. He either slaughters it, utvacho, o mecharo, or he sells it. That's when he's chayav to pay money. So now we make a comparison between the two. Ma mechira al yedei acher, just like selling, right? Cannot be done by one party alone. When you have a sale, that means there is a seller and there is a buyer. So mechira is something that can only be al yedei acher through the cooperation of someone else, right? And yet he has to pay af tevicha al yedei acher. The Torah is hinting to us that by tevicha here, even if it's done al yedei acher, even if you tell the person to slaughter it for you, you have to pay, which means normally you're right. Normally, en shaliach lidvar avera, that if you send the shaliach to do avera, you don't get the sin. You don't get punished for that sin, because he doesn't have to listen to you. But in the case of tvicha o mechira, of stealing the shor and selling it or slaughtering, in that case, even through a shliach, the meshaleach, the sender, the one who appointed the shaliach, he has to pay the fine, because we learn it by the hekesh of tvicha to mechira. Just like mechira is al yedei acher, so when the Torah tells us tvicha, it means even al yedei acher, even if he did it through someone else, he's obligated to pay arba v'chamisha. Deve Rabbi Ishmael Tana, in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Ishmael, they learned from a different pasuk. Lerabot et ha-shaliach. They learn it from the different word. It says, utvacho o mecharo, from the extra word o. That's where they learn this extra word is lerabot et ha-shaliach, to include the shaliach. Meaning that the Torah here is hinting that this is an exception to the overall rule. In this case, even if a person slaughtered by means of a shaliach, he is obligated. That we learn from O. The Bechizkiah Tana, in the Yeshiva of Chizkiah, they learned tachat. From the word tachat, that it says, Chamisha bakar yeshalem tachat hashor. The Torah could have just said, Chamisha bakar yeshalem bashor. Why it say tachat, an extra word? Lerabot et ha-shaliach, to include, even if he did it through a shaliach, he is liable to pay the money. So bottom line, the Gemara explained that that Braita where it says that Rabbi Meir holds that he has to pay 4 or 5, even though it was a case of ganav v'tavach v'shabbat, is because toveach al yedei acher, the tvicha was done by someone else, that's why he has to pay, because the act of shchitan shabbat he didn't do. So the Gemara is going to ask on this, matkif la marzutra. Marzutra says, is it possible to really explain the words of Rabbi Meir like this? That he obligates the 4 or 5 in the case of tvicha on Shabbat, that he told the other person to be toveach, to slaughter. But if he himself would be toveach, then Rabbi Meir would agree that he's patur from paying the 4 or 5, because you don't get mitah and pay. It's only met and not mishalim. Is that true? Can you explain the words of Rabbi Meir like this? Mi'i kamidi, is there such a thing? De'ilu avad ihu lo michyav? Is there such a thing that if he would have done it on his own, he would not be chayav. Ve'avid shaliach hu michyav? And yet, if he makes a shaliach to do it, then he is chayav for it? Meaning, the payment of arba'ah v'chamisha, if he would have slaughtered on Shabbat, then he would not have to pay the arba'ah v'chamisha, right? So now, but when he made a shaliach to go ahead and do it, right, on Shabbat, so then he does pay. That's how you're explaining Rabbi Meir, right? Is it possible to say such a thing? Is it logical to say that there is such a thing that if you yourself would do, you would not be responsible to pay for? But if you do it through a shaliach, then you are responsible to pay for. How could you explain like this? Well, the Gemara answers, no, you could explain this. Ihu, this that he himself is patur, this that he would be exempt if he would have slaughtered on Shabbat. La mishum de lo michya. It's not because he's not obligated to pay the money. Really, he is obligated. It's only because of the rule that when you have two punishments, two liabilities, death and payment, so you take the person gets the worse punishment, which is the death and not payment. Not because he's not obligated to pay. It's just that you don't get both penalties. So therefore, even in the case where, that's why, in the case if you would make a shaliach to go ahead and do the tvicha, in that case, he would be chayav to pay. Although normally in the practical sense of the word, he would not have to pay if he would have done it on his own, but it's not because he would not be obligated to pay. It's just that we wouldn't collect it from him since he would be receiving the death penalty of Chilul Shabbat. Therefore, yes indeed, if he makes a shaliach to do it, he would then have to pay the money that he's obligated anyway to pay of the 4 and 5. But now the Gemara asks, okay, so if that's how you're explaining the scenario of that Braita, that the tvicha, ganav v'tavach b'shabbat means that he did it through someone else slaughtered it for him, so then ma'ita ma'yu de Rabbanan de Patri. So then, okay, Rabbi Meir is explained. But what's the reason of Rabbanan that say that he's patur from 4 or 5 to pay? I mean, the only reason we thought that he's patur from payment is because since there are two liabilities, one of the death penalty, one of payment, kim lebed rabamine, you get the bigger punishment, and that is death, not the payment. But if you're telling me that he did it through acher, through someone else, so then he didn't do chilul Shabbat, right? So that means he's not chayav mita. Why shouldn't he pay? There's no reasoning here of kim lebed rabamine. The Gemara says, no, you know how you understand. Man chachamim Rabbi Shimon hi. Who is the chachamim in the Mishnah that argued Rabbi Meir? It's Rabbi Shimon. De'amar shchita she'ena re'uya lo shma shchita. Rabbi Shimon holds, slaughtering that does not render the meat of the animal fit to be eaten is not called slaughtering, is not called shechita. Now, the shechita of an animal for the sake of avodah zarah and the shechita of shorah niskal is not rendering the meat fit to be eaten. You're not allowed to eat the meat. Therefore, in that case, he's not chayav, the person is not chayav for the shechita that the shaliach did, he's not chayav to pay 4 or 5, because it's not considered utvacho, it's not shechita, because after all, it didn't make the food mutar to be eaten, because it was slaughtered for avodat kochavim. The Gemara immediately asks what you're asking yourself. Hatina chovat avodat kochavim v'shorah niskal. Okay, you're right. The other two cases, it's true. They're not fit to be eaten if it was slaughtered for avodat kochavim or for shorah niskal. Ela shechitat shabbat, shechita reuyahi. But what about the case of tvachob shabbat? It's still kosher meat now. You're allowed to eat it. So that should be considered shechita. So he should have to pay. Why do chachamim say, why would Rabbi Shimon say in this case that you don't have to pay? Ditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, Hashochet b'Shabbat uv'Yom HaKippurim, afal pi shemitchayev b'nafsho shechitato k'shera. We learned in the Mishnah that if a person slaughters on Shabbat or on Yom Kippur, even though he's mitchayev b'nafsho, even though he committed chilul Shabbat, he desecrated Shabbat with shechita, and therefore he is deserving of the death penalty, but shechitato k'shera, but the meat is kasher. So why would Chachamim say, which you're telling me right now, the Chachamim is Rabbi Shimon, why would he say that in the case of Shochet, of Ganav Utvacho, B'Shabbat, that if he stole it and he slaughtered it on Shabbat, he is patur from paying the Tashlumim? Why is he patur? There's no Kimle B'Drabamine, because Chilut Shabbat he didn't do. He did it through someone else, right? So therefore, he should have to pay the penalty at least of the Arba V'Chamisha. And don't tell me because it's shechita she'ena re'uya, lo shma shechita, this is shechita re'uya. The meat is kasher by the case of shochet b'Shabbat. The Gemara answers, the Tana of our Braita, savar la k'Rabbi Yochanan Asandelar. Our Tana holds, the Tana of the Braita holds, like Rabbi Yochanan Asandelar, who holds that you're not allowed to eat the meat that was prepared with Chilul Shabbat. If Shechita was done on Shabbat, you're not allowed to eat that meat, and therefore it is Shechita She'ena Re'uya. Where do we see this Rabbi Yochanan Asandelar? And here we enter, of course, the sugya of if Chilul Shabbat was done, are you allowed to derive benefit from it or not? Bezod Hashem, when we continue, we will start here from this point.